And I want to thank you very, very, very much for kicking us off with that tune. Is the audio coming in all right for you guys or no?
It is. Was mine okay?
Oh, yours was fan. It was glorious. And we're going to come back to that song and some of the meaning that I think might be in it. But I just wanted to thank you again, Joanne, for playing it. And it's, you know, oftentimes I was mentioning to Joanne in the back channel before we open this up. Normally I go for, I don't know, 30 to 90 seconds on most of the songs that we end up playing for everybody to kick off these spaces. But that one, I had to let go longer than usual. And I say that because I wanted to include both the first verse as well as kind of that beautiful outro that they have with the cello, the violins, and this idea of looking down on the world and essentially the perspective of the songwriter there is looking down on the world and what has become of the world that I've known or the world that I once knew, right? How different are these and how perhaps demoralizing can it be to look around and see all the troubles, all the loneliness, all the demoralization and the depression? And there within can, of course, lie a great challenge, because if there is something that we intrinsically have to have that has to be fundamental to our movement, whatever we call this thing that we're in opposition of Jewish supremacy, well, we have to recognize that the world that we've known might not be the world that we presently know, but it doesn't forever have to be the world that we will always be able to see, right? We can build something that is more beautiful, something that might feel lost or forgotten, right? And there's a lot of individuals in that very first verse, the songwriter is basically suggesting, there I am in New York City looking around at all the downtrodden people, right? What has become of this world that I've known? I stand on this ledge, right? And it feels very akin to actually a gospel reading, a homily that we did not too long ago, right? This idea of Christ being offered all the riches, all the glory as he stood on the hilltop, tempted by essentially Satan, which we were speaking about that the other day in a space, and the idea of the riches of the world. You can have anything and everything as far as you can see, right? Instead, this songwriter is looking around and looking down at the world and saying, what has happened to everything? How has it all gotten so dark, right? And so it feels very relevant and pertinent, especially given the reading that we're going to be doing here, because again, we have to find a centeredness amidst all the chaos, all the demoralization, all that is perhaps gray in the world. We've got to see that color amongst all the beauty and the splendor that is Mother Nature and all of us that are in opposition to this very demoralizing force. So we'll jump into that in just a second. I do see that we've got Earl's hand up, who came up here on the panel. Feel free, anybody and everybody, if you would like to participate, either kind of post this reading with some of your thoughts on what might be the message there within once we get to that, or anything and everything else. There's obviously a lot going in the world, especially in relation to the subjects that we normally cover. But Earl, wonderful to have you up here. Any kind of commentary or thoughts or anything else that's top of mind for you?
Hey, thanks, Ian, for holding the space. And no, not right now. My PFP kind of has a hand baked into it. Sorry about that. It's more for other spaces. But just thank you for everything that you bring and all the knowledge that you share within the X space. So I'll be tuning in, but thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I gotta love it. Any avatar that that of course creates any kind of confusion or interest, right? Those are all good things. And so wonderful to have you you up here, and I can appreciate the hand. I don't know how you got it to go outside of the circle bubble, whatever you call it. But that's rather interesting and I appreciate it.
You were overbending a little bit. I think you made the circle a little bit smaller, and that's how.
Yeah. You can reduce. You basically take a screenshot with your hand up in his face, and then slowly reduce it with the background. You can't really notice it, but yeah, thank you. Don't want to take up more time on that, but I will chime in if I have an opinion with some of the amazing speakers you guys seem to always bring up all the time. So thank you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, it's wonderful to understand how you did that, and also as a way to call out some of the nuance that we need to put in and infuse into our efforts to bring all these uncomfortable truths that we speak about to the masses, right? Sometimes we gotta figure out clever ways to garner additional attention. So I love that you did that. Very, very, very cool. Also a big shout out, and this is actually going to come back into this reading, but a big shout out first and foremost to the Mr. allegedly dank, who is absolutely just, he's incomparable. He is an unbelievable asset to our team. He's been doing unbelievable work to get all of this content as best he can off of just this app and onto Apple Podcasts, Rumble, Spotify, and IanMalcolm84.com, which I never imagined we would be able to say something like that. It's only thanks to his brilliance working with this AI that we have gotten to that point. And so the work that he's been doing, absolutely just wonderful. I cannot be more thankful to him for all that he has been doing on that front. And so without further ado, so what we're going to do here is cover the daily reading, which is, I think, very, very, very important and meaningful for what it is that we are doing. We will see why in just a second. Once I kind of just go through and read that, what I'll attempt is my best rendition of essentially a homily, bringing that, for anybody not familiar with the concept, to relevance for the things that we see in our day-to-day life, in particular, this idea of Jewish supremacy that I'm, as always, convinced is the forefront of all that is essentially plaguing the Western world. It's at the epicenter of virtually all these things that I think are detrimental to our way of life, our country, our people, and above all, our morality, right? And after all, if they are able to demoralize us into nothingness, it's very easy to lord over that group of now demoralized people, utilizing nothing but trinkets, gold, silver, right? Or other, let's say, barometers of success to get us to more or less bend the knee to not only their system, but also their value structure. And so we'll be going through all of that. I want to thank everybody that is in here, especially Miss Joanne for being here, the co-hostess with the forever mostest. She is an absolute blessing to everything that we've been doing, as is allegedly Dank and so many others that are up here. So I just, as always, I want to thank all of you. In the words of someone far wiser than me, you could have chosen to be anywhere else in the world and you are here with us. And I sincerely appreciate you for that, right? So please take all these ideas as best you can and just share them with anybody and everybody that's outside of these circles, because I do believe they are going to continue to do anything and absolutely everything to further silence us and suppress us and to just put our conversations into the echo chambers as best they can. Now, that being said, this is directly from Matthew. This is going to be 16:21-27. And again, it's a lot of we obviously wait, talk about Ian, every single day. So, yep.
You're rubber banding a little bit.
All right. Well, is this working any better or no?
I don't know. You keep going. And maybe get closer to the modem. And guys, please again, repost this space. And if you guys go to it, I will also repost it and bookmark it. It helps so much with the algo. And follow Ian and everybody on the panel. So thank you so much for being here. Sorry, go for it, Ian.
No, and Joanne, you were rubber banding on my end as well, so this might be a connectivity issue, a little bit of a dead spot. If hopefully this is working, please do jump in, Joanne, and let me know if the audio is cutting out at all. We'll definitely do our best to accommodate. So that being said, again, this is Matthew 16, 21 through 27, and it says, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, aka the Jews, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside, and he began to rebuke him, to basically push back on him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. And he turned, and Christ said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as our God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow in me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and yet to forfeit his life? Or what can give one in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels and his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. Now, again, I think this is really fascinating on a number of levels. And the reason for it is actually the manifold. Now, first and foremost, Obviously, this is Christ telling of his very real, very certain demise that will be at the hands of the Pharisees, the rabbis, the Jews, the Jewish supremacists, whatever we want to call them, right? He knew that this was inevitably going to be the outcome of all that he was going to have to endure in an effort to try and make the world a better place for all of us, right? So he goes in accepting this, which is really interesting because, of course, in describing what is inevitably going to follow, what is he told? But that by Peter, his most loyal and trusted ally, he's told, no, 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 we can't ever allow this to happen. We can't allow this horror and this atrocity to befall you, right? And you would think that any normal person, right, would be able to look around and say, you know what, Peter, I think you're right. We should probably do that which we can to avoid the possibility that I am going to go through all these atrocities and ultimately suffer at the hands of the Jewish supremacists, the rabbis, and the Pharisees. You would think that anybody that would be self-serving would, of course, take that bend. And yet, what does Christ say to him? Not only, no, this is what has to happen, but he says, Satan, I rebuke you. Get behind me, referring to Peter. Right now, obviously, he's not saying that Peter is Satan. He's not saying that Peter is satanic. But what he is saying is, of course, that the messaging that Peter is giving him, that that is coming from a demonic entity or spirit, right? He is trying to be motivated to forego that punishment because, after all, the suffering that Christ is going to endure is ultimately the thing that is going to beget us, essentially, the eternal salvation. And I bring this up, right? Because what Christ then goes on to say is basically that for whoever is willing to forego all the earthly riches of the world, well, that they are going to get everlasting salvation. They will essentially be righteously rewarded by God the Father because they've been willing to properly prioritize the things at the very top of this totem pole that are most important for not only their own individual spirituality, but for also for humanity at large. Right? And if we think about it, but what could be more relevant for the world that we find ourselves in which, of course, the Jewish supremacists have all the ability to dish out all of those earthly rewards, all of the, let's say, the glory, the vanity, the hedonism, the money, the materialism, as Andrew Tate would say, the Bugattis, right? All of that, that is what they have to offer us if we pursue that lifestyle. Now, this doesn't mean that we, of course, and this is one of the great challenges of opposing Jewish supremacy, that doesn't mean that we should revel in the idea of being completely bankrupted and homeless out on a street corner, right? Because unfortunately, we live in a world where the person that is on that street corner, no matter how honest and truthful and how informed they might be, well, they're obviously going to get treated in a different way by the masses than the person who's got all of those earthly possessions. So it's a very challenging road that we find ourselves in, right? Where we need to be able to present ourselves as informed and educated and competent and successful. And unfortunately, because of the very realities of things like the halo concept, right? Where this notion that, you know, if you see somebody who's got those successes, you presume upon them certain features, right? You see the guy driving the Lamborghini, most people assume, oh, he has to be a financial success. He has to have made his own company. He has to dot, dot, dot. And I mention this because unfortunately we do live in this reality where a lot of people, why do they turn to Andrew Tate? Well, because they presume him as success. Why did the youth listen to Nick Fuentes? Because he's quote unquote successful. He's made it. He's a big shot. You know, that is essentially the barometer by which they then give this this credibility, let's say. But unfortunately, the credibility is largely dished out by the very people that we are speaking in opposition to. Right. And so we have to kind of toe this fine line between these two realities where we need to be able to be successful enough, informed enough, educated enough that people will listen to the things that we say while simultaneously speaking enough truths that we're able to actually make a significant difference in the world and to awaken people to the realities and the horrors of Jewish supremacy. Right. But so Christ says, he rebukes Peter's comment. No, I will not fear the persecution. I will not fear all that is to come by speaking out against these things. And obviously, we know that there are very real world consequences to doing precisely this. Not just if you dox yourself as a public figure on social media and all those other things. Obviously, that is persecution. But so too is going even amongst your friends and your family and having the comfort to say, hey, guys, Have you noticed these weird patterns? I see them in the media. I see them in politics. I see them in the military. I see them in finance. Why is it that we're demoralized at every turn? If these groups care about us, why do they keep making everything worse? Right? Having the strength and the courage to even say that, whether it's on an X space, with your posts on Facebook, or in your small communities amongst trusted friends, family, maybe parishioners, maybe classmates, maybe colleagues, whatever it might be, right? Even that takes courage. It takes bravery. It takes the reality that you are, ironically, just like Christ did, you are going to get hate from the Pharisees, from the rabbis, and the Jewish supremacists, the very same people. Right? We recognize that we have to go through these trials and this tribulation, and we have to understand with absolute clarity and certainty that it is not going to be easy, that we are going to fall just like Christ did with the crucifix while he was walking to literally be crucified. He fell again and again because this is a monumental task that we are essentially embarking on, right? But we need to recognize how far we have already come. We've already built our disciples. If we look around, we have our trusted friends and allies. We don't need the entire world. We need the small circle of honest, genuine, compassionate people that sincerely are willing to prioritize the betterment of all humanity over our individual aspirations for vanity or for comfort. Right? And if we look around, well, what are we doing here in these very rooms? I can name off the top of my head some extremely trusted allies. Now, I might not know their name. I might not know what they look like. I might not even know where in the world they are. I might have to play, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? And where in the world is Joanne? I don't know. But I do know that she's a good person. I know that she's honest, that she's out here trying to make a difference. That is what we need to value. Not all this other monetary nonsense and the superficial materialism, right? We need to be able to rise above that and to recognize we are going to fall again and again and again. And it's not because we are going to fail, but rather because the journey to this final destination that we envision, just like with Christ, just like with Frodo Baggins, right, is going to be filled with all kinds of treachery and danger along the way. And this group that we oppose, they've got the upper hand. The eye of Sauron is everywhere. It is all over us. It is as Orwellian as it gets. It is in our phone with our smartphones. It's in our kitchen if you're silly enough to have an Alexa or an Apple Pod or whatever they call those things, right? It is in every room, on every street corner. It is now literally on every highway thanks to Flock security cameras. They are tracking everything. It is literally Sauron watching over everything that we do, feeding it all back, ironically, speaking of Lord of the Rings, to Palantir. And they're going to jam all this data into the black box, just like they will with the black box that's literally owned by BlackRock, so that they can understand all that we are trying to do, all the possible permutations of how we might be able to win this intellectual war by awakening the masses. But again, we will fall. We're going to stumble. They will nuke some of our handles. They will suppress some of our content. I got a message from somebody today saying, did you know your pinned tweet has its visibility limited, that is horrifically injuring your ability to have reach? And I said to them, yes, of course I do. It is my giant middle finger to Sauron, right? And why? Because it's just data. It's just statistics. It is demonstrably accurate descriptions of Jewish supremacy that they have labeled as hateful conduct, so much so that it's banned in multiple European countries. You can't even see it in a whole bunch of those countries. It's not allowed, right? And why? Because the thing that they fear above everything else is just truth, right? And so that is essentially, just like with Sauron, that is me standing in the middle of the battlefield with Frodo Baggins giving the big middle finger to Sauron and all of his legions. And we all need to do just that and to just keep walking step by step by step. Again, we're going to get nuked. We're going to get deplatformed. We are going to get, are censored and suppressed. And we will even, unfortunately, have people like allegedly Dank, who is just using all of this AI to share all of our ideas on these other platforms. What happened? Anthropic comes along and says, because of an internal investigation. Think about that for a second. It's not like it got reported on X, right? It wasn't a public post that they used and said, oh, this is hateful conduct. No, he was literally using an AI code in the comfort of his own environment with zero ability for anybody external to recognize even who he is. And yet Anthropic, one of the world's largest AI companies, also run by a Jew, says, sorry, you're not allowed to use this platform for the end goals of doing what? Of trying to bring attention to literal truth, right? And so again, we will stumble, we will fall. But you know what allegedly Dank's going to do? He's going to grab that crucifix that is trying to figure out how to utilize AI and spread this awareness, and he's going to stand back up. He's going to have additional tools that he's going to figure out. He's going to try other resources, figure out other ways to try and spread this message. He's not going to allow himself to be demoralized and beaten down to the point that he's unwilling to continue moving forward. And we all need to do that. And we all need to recognize that that was inevitably a probable outcome based on everything else that we've seen. Anthropic is going to try and limit his use of Claude. Apple Podcasts are going to try and suppress and censor our conversations over there. It'll happen everywhere. But it doesn't matter, because as long as we keep getting up, just as Christ motivates me to keep getting up, well, hopefully then I will be able to help motivate some of you to keep getting up. And Dank will motivate others to keep doing what he can to help others get up over and over and over and over again. And that in and of itself, the wildest part is, yes, it can be painful to fall down, but it's incredibly moralizing to others to see you get back up, right? It's just like Rocky. At the end of the movie, yo, Adrian, for anybody who doesn't remember, Rocky loses the fight. Let's keep this, let's be crystal clear. Rocky loses to Apollo Creed in the first Rocky. Does anybody remember that? Not really. Why? Because the title song of the movie is Going the Distance. All he wanted to do is to prove that he could. And because he could, the rest of the entire world was astonished by the courage, the bravery, the strength. That's what we are doing. So every day when we get knocked down, it doesn't matter. Just let that tune ring in the back of your head, right? Just like the bell that rang in between each one of the boxing rounds, that we just keep getting up. And Benjamin Netanyahu, with his billions of dollars and his little pathetic son who sits there, I saw him post today, oh, all of these people criticizing Israel think that we don't have a right to Palestine. Right? As he sits saying, we don't have the right to our homeland. Where is he again? In Miami with his mother? What? So literally this pathetic little peon of a man who talks about his birthright and his homeland and his people's struggle for it as he sits in Miami in a Ferrari with his mother, cheering on their people's genocide of the Palestinians, the war that they won't even get up to fight with the Iranians because they're cowards. And instead, what do? We keep getting up every single day. You think they're concerned? I know they are. Why? Because they're cowards. And they're looking up at us and they're saying, this guy's not just getting up from Apollo Creed. He's getting up after a $1 trillion media empire that owns everything is trying to obscure and obfuscate and lie about the present. And these crazy people, think of how terrified they must be, right? We're like Maximus in the middle of the ring in Gladiator. We've got like a sword through one leg, a spear through our arm, and we keep getting up. You don't think they're terrified of our courage to do this? It's unbelievable. And imagine the Pharisees back in the day. They're sitting around mocking and spitting at Christ with his crown of thorns, right? Trying to humiliate everything that he's got. What does he do? He keeps getting up. And who comes along to help him? The little people, right? Everybody around that says, I'm going to stand with this man. And we forget that. Why? Because in today's society, we cheer on the guy with the riches. We would cheer on the Pharisees. That's the saddest part about it. That's what the media would have you cheer on in the story of Christ. But no, that's not us in these rooms, the people that we are building these bridges with. And I promise you, we will keep getting bigger and bigger and more unstoppable. And just like Rocky running through Philadelphia with the army of people behind him, all the little guys, right? They couldn't even pick up their feet the first couple times they ran with him. But by the end of that story and that journey, the entire city was behind him. The world was behind him, just like they were with Jesus Christ. And so when Peter comes along and says, I don't know if we can endure this, let's figure out another way. And Christ says, no, Satan, I do not fear what is to come. Because whatever they may bring, it is not going to matter. We are all standing up and the world is taking notice. Their $1 trillion media empire is losing. The $1 billion they're going to spend on influencers like Lucas Gage. Oh, guys, trust me, number one anti-Semite turned big bad shill for the Israelis, right? Like, let them do all this nonsense. Let all of these shills and these cucks come at us with everything that they've got, because at the end of the day, it's all just lies and intimidation based on fear. Why? Because just like with Christ, who knew that his reward would come after the death, right? He said, look, I'm going to have to go through this. On the third day, I'm going to rise. It's going to be spectacular. I will see you again. Regardless of whatever might come from our efforts here, we are going to rise. And that we is the human spirit. It is all of us. It is essentially the greater humanity against, ironically, the greater Israel. It is all of us opposing genocide, horrors, pedophiles, liars, and sociopaths. That is what we are. How is that possibly ever going to lose? It won't. The truth is winning out. It will continue winning out, which is why all these cucks and the shills, the best that they can do is just send more people to try and slur and slander and libel the things that we're doing. Because you know what they can't do? They can't debate the ideas that we share. And so just like in this story, all we got to do, just like Christ, is say, I do not fear that. I do not fear the other. I do not fear the consequences and the repercussions of the rabbis and the chief priests. What a lame title. We don't fear any of them with their strange little hats, their little black cubes. Bring it on. Because just like Christ, just like Neo, just like all these other great heroes that we can all celebrate, whether they're fictional or religious, or whether they are actual people of our past, we will stand in opposition to all of this insanity. We are going to win. And just like Christ said, we will rebuke all that is our fear, that is our concern. We will embrace all that is our strength. And I will embrace any and all of you, whether you're in this room right now or you're anywhere else in the world, willing to merely note these uncomfortable truths so that the sociopathic, lying, scumbag, little cowards like Benjamin Netanyahu's son can sit in his Ferrari down in Miami to go meet up with the guys with my Bugatti, and they can all smoke their big cigars and celebrate that they're cucks for Jews. And we will say no. We are standing in opposition. We are going to win. And we pity them at the end of the day. Why? Because our reward is going to be the aftermath of all that is going to follow this rejection to Jewish supremacy, which whether or not we get to see it firsthand, whether it's here on earth or in the afterlife, either way, we are going to be pursuing the glory that is that ultimate resurrection of our souls, our righteousness, and I believe our civilizations. We are going to win in our lifetimes. I sincerely believe that. We just have to keep taking the steps every single day, indifferent to all of those fears that we might have from this power structure that we speak out against. And so just like Jesus said to Peter, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke all of our haters, all of the liars, all of those that come in to shill for this clearly demonic force. Rebuke all of them. Sounds like a very antiquated term, but it's perfectly fitting for what we're doing here. And just like in that song, it's a final comment, right? Collective Soul, it was. I walk upon high, I step to the edge, and I see the world below. And I laugh at myself. What has this world become? The world that I've known. We will make that world a better place. So don't lose sight of that. Don't ever find yourself looking around at all that are demoralized around you and feel like hope is lost. All those people need is the recognition that something has always been there, which is our divine spark, the thing that is going to lift us out of this, the thing that will keep motivating and inspiring us every single day, just like Rocky, just like Frodo, just like Christ himself, to just keep going. And so I want to thank all of you that are here. I want to thank, of course, this incredible piece of the New Testament. I want to thank, of course, Christ for everything that he did, for giving us the inspiration to just keep on this path. And I don't care if you're religious or not, right? Find your center, find your hero. Doesn't matter if it's Jesus Christ, Muhammad, if it's Luke Skywalker, find your center, find the thing that you aspire to be more like. And what you will ultimately find is that all of those great heroes of the past, the reason we resonate with all of them is because they gave themselves to something bigger. And they said, consequences be damned. We are going to win. I absolutely believe that. So again, I welcome everybody that's here. I hope that was moderately interesting. If not, please come up. Tell me I'm a crazy person. If you did, I'd love your thoughts and opinions on it. And with that being said, Joanne, any kind of thoughts, curiosities, or questions?
Oh my God, that was beautiful. Yeah, and I got chills multiple times. You don't understand. No, I love your Sunday Spaces, and I'm so happy that you opened. I got a couple of messages from people like, oh my God, what is it? And like, for example, Mandy down there, and now this morning we were like having withdrawals. So no, thank you. Thank you so much. That was absolutely beautiful. And the song that you played in the that you told me to play in the beginning was, I forgot it existed completely, and I started like listening, and it's, for what it's worth, the world I knew, it's gone, and I say it as a positive thing. Everything that the world used to be 2 years ago, it's slowly crumbling, and it's thanks to people like you and Truth and David and Godfrey and Dr. Michael Rechtenwald under Mandy as well. All of us collectively, you guys are changing it. And I'm just so, 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 so grateful for all of you guys. And it's such a positive movement, such a lovely, like loving and wholesome, and I don't know, I love it. And what you were talking about, it's gonna be hard, but it will get easier. And it doesn't define you how many times you fall, but how many times you get back up. And that is, it's gonna be hard, but I love being here with you guys. And we are always going to have each other to keep rising up over and over and over and over. And it will get better. And I see it. It did get better. So thank you so much for having this amazing space, Ian. So thank you. Seriously, it was amazing intro. So, yeah. And guys, again, please repost the space. And if you guys go to it, I will also repost it and bookmark it. It helps so much with the algo. And follow Ian and Official and Dr. Michael Rectangle Mandy and everybody who is down there. And Official, happy birthday. I do wish you the best of the universe. So thank you. Should we go to a couple of fans?
Thank you, Joanne.
Yeah, absolutely. And big happy birthday to Mr. Official Dre. I guess it's not doxing your birthday because you already shared it. but lots of love, my man.
Appreciate it, everybody. You know, they say being a day old only matters if you're a banana. But now that I'm 31, I've been yawning a lot more than usual. I'm like, holy crap, man.
That one day made all the difference, my man. Yeah, Joanne, let's go. Let's get some temperature checks from the audience. I see so many wonderful speakers that we've got up here. Why don't we first and foremost check in with Mr. V, see if he's got any thoughts, and then we'll go to Dr. and kind of go throughout some of the other hands here.
V, go for it. Welcome. Happy Sunday. Okay, I think V is not there. Maybe Frodo is. Yep. Dr. Michael Rectangle, how are you, and how's Lori?
Hey, y'all. Hey, Ian and Joanne. Nice to see you. Great. I listened to the opening monologue. What a wonderful inspiration you are. And you keep delivering these amazing, you know, I would say sermons, really, in a way. And they're very appreciated, man. And you know, we all face difficulties, and you know, they're coming after us. And you know, I mean, they're gonna keep these ridiculous psyops up. They're gonna keep this ridiculous slurs. And you know, you had Leo Terrell basically threatening people online now, saying, "You anti-Semites, you're going to be haunted forever for your tweets and things like this." So now they're threatening our First Amendment rights. of course, they've been doing this for some time now. They were trying to eradicate our rights, our First Amendment right, because free speech is self-defense. It's the first line of self-defense, really. It is a way of asserting your own rights otherwise, and protesting against infringements against your rights. So they want to take that first, and we're going to fight to the death for our free speech. I guarantee it. That is not going to be abrogated. We are going to win on the free speech platform. That is, we must win in terms of free speech, or we have nothing else. There's no way we can defend ourselves without it. I've been making some music and enjoying the arts and writing and, you know, poetry and lyrics, and I'm just having a ball doing that, plus my work at ASIPAC and teaching, and so all of that is what I'm up to, and you know, you can listen to it on my page. I have some of the songs up that I've been making, and I'm actually singing them myself and having that. And I'm going to turn some of these songs are basically references. I'm going to go actually into a studio with musicians, and we're going to record an album. So all that's happening. And also, I'm going to turn my book, The Cabal Question, into a animated series. Not animation. It's going to look like real humans. And I'm working on that now. And that's it's difficult. It's expensive as well. It's pretty expensive, but I'm actually starting that project as well. So it's great to be here. Great to see all these wonderful people. Let's be better than them. Let's be moral. Let's be ultimately moral and righteous. That's what we have to be in order to have a righteous cause. We must be righteous in our cause. So that's all I have for right now. Thanks so much for having me up.
So spectacularly stated, Dr. Echtenwald. And I know I speak for everybody here when I say I'm incredibly excited, not only for the music that you're working on, but also the animated film, The Cabal Question. For anybody that has not, feel free. It's on Dr. Echtenwald's page to go check that out. You can support that and pick up a copy of that book. Just an unbelievable piece of literature that he put together, one of several. And we went through and did a reading of some of the chapters. I think everybody in here was laughing at some points and just taken aback by others in terms of how impactful that story truly is. It's just a wonderful piece that you put together, Dr. Echtenwald.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I'll throw a link to it at the bottom in the nest here. And you know, no, I'm not trying to hawk anything right now. I just wanted to sort of say what I'm up to, and you know, that's just the kind of things that are on my mind. And you know, I appreciate the plug and everything you're doing. Thanks so much.
Of course, brother. And you know, we get lots of criticisms from the Jewish supremacists left, right, and center. The one I find interesting are the critiques from people that are supposed to be on our side, suggesting that not enough is being done to bring about real world change. And then I look around and I see some of the incredible work that you're doing with ASIPAC, and I don't know what else to tell these people. It's like, real change is sincerely happening. It's just a monumental task that we're up against. And this isn't going to, you know, it's not a light switch. It's not going to turn on overnight that we're going to be able to build the $1 trillion empire to oppose the one that currently operates, right? Instead, we need to work from the ground up. And Dr. Echtenwald, the work that you've been doing with ASIPAC to support these candidates that are openly and honestly in opposition to essentially Zionist and Jewish supremacy, it's unbelievably impactful and important. So I just can't thank you enough for all of that. It's the real world change that we all frankly need to get behind. And so thank you as always for that, my friend. I think it was MAGA had their hand up first. And so why don't we go to MAGA, and then we'll go over to Durrell, and then to Mandy.
Hey, Ian, I appreciate you having me up. I got a little bit of mine will be a little bit slightly more drawn out. So I've been doing like a really deep dive into the Book of Romans, which kind of leads into like the six Gospels. You know, everybody knows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Romans is kind of like the gospel according to Paul. And then, of course, last, the sixth gospel would be the gospel according to you, right? So when you go and you speak to people, you may be the only gospel that someone hears. And then leading into that, it speaks in the book of Romans, basically your, sorry, I'm just waking up. You have to give me a moment. In the book of Romans, it basically says that you are, the gospel is not to, or Jesus dying is not to make good men or bad men good. It is to make dead men live. And with that, you know, you're saved under grace. And as Hal Lindsey once said, grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. And then you get into it also in the book of Romans, it kind of speaks of the legalism. So it says the pagan man and the religious man are kind of the same. And then when it references, it talks about the Jews at that time being the legal, like they're legal. They always go by like Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and stuff like that. And they're so focused on the legalistic part of it that they forget about the grace part of it. And Jesus was like the most anti-religion person you would ever meet. Like it was, this is about grace. This is all about grace. So then you kind of travel back and you look into the book of Revelations. And the first like several chapters are basically to like everybody, right? It's more like it's written like the way that Paul wrote it. It was like everybody can understand this part. And what it's saying is basically the church age is like, I think it's, it talks about the seven church ages. And I think we're in the last church age as we speak right now. Like we are truly in end times. And once that that's fulfilled, which means once there's a certain number of people that are saved, then that's cut off. And now you go into the, then it starts going into like, more of like the Hebrew, the Jewish age, right? So it kind of goes into like the, like all the damnations that are about to happen, the seals that are being opened and everything else. So somebody in here now, you could be like the last person. So just saying that. One other thing I do want to talk about is we have a lot of focus on AI right now. So there's a book called Joshua. I don't know if y'all remember that. It's kind of like a warrior type book in the Bible. Really damn good book. And it's kind of like based, if you look at it, Joshua and Yeshua, Yeshua would have been called like Joshua back in those times, right? Because the J was not, they didn't have the letter J. Yeshua would have transferred to Joshua. And Yeshua back in the day would have been that. But they talk about actually defeating AI, which was like a city in that time. So I don't know if there's any kind of correlation, but it is definitely a cool book. And if you get a chance, I would recommend reading that. And like I said, man, I'm sorry. I just woke up and I just had my first cup of coffee and I'm working nights. We're working 14 on and one off. So I'm kind of not in my normal speaking mode, but I do appreciate
you. You're doing wonderfully. And I sincerely appreciate you being here. And if you wouldn't mind putting the link to that book, or maybe not a link, but maybe just an image of the cover or something similar in the purple pill.
It's in the Bible.
Would love to check that out.
Joshua, that's a book in the Bible. Joshua.
Oh, I thought you were referencing an expert, a person that was writing about that particular
book. No.
It was a book on a book.
No. If you read the book of Joshua, it actually talks about the city of AI. So if you go back and you read it, like, and if you, I'm sure you remember the book of Joshua, that's where they played the horns and they were walked around the city and the city walls collapsed and stuff like that. But yeah, it actually talks about this AI.
Well, all right. We'll certainly look at it from that lens and, would be curious for it. So much appreciated. Let's go down to Mr. Official Dre and get some of his thoughts, and then we'll go to Darrell.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. And Michael, what's up, brother? Mandy, good to see everyone in here. Repost the space if you haven't already, please. And today is Sunday, right? I believe, you know, and it's always an amazing, every day is an amazing day to study the word, the good word, you know, even in the Quran, you know, we're instructed to follow the teachings of the gospel. You know, so I keep my Bible handy and nearby for these things. So, man, I think what I really like the most, man, is I didn't want to just come to my own thing, but I came in here in the space specifically because, you know, the title. But even in Luke, right, in the book of Luke, I think Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, man, is a very, very insightful chapter. And this is the words of Jesus, you know, like in Luke 21, telling you of what is to come, you know. And we are certainly in these days, you know, of Luke chapter 21, I would say, like these forewarning us, you know. And there's many examples where he's warning us of what is to come and the battles that we're going to have, you know, for his sake, right? You know, especially when it comes to the ones that deny him, the ones that put him on the cross, right? The ones that slander, blaspheme, and deny, you know, in his name. You know, it's all there, man. It's all there in Luke 21. Luke, for example, Luke 21, 12, he says, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you, right? Not just persecute you, but they shall lay their hands on you, you know, physically, right? And then they will persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You know, is that, you know, like pretty soon, I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm just making it out of my mind that maybe one day, instead of going to a court in front of a judge, you'll be going to a synagogue in front of a rabbi, you know? So it's like, you know, but I feel like we're definitely in these days, man, of Luke 21. And I'm actually about to grab my Bible right now. And because it's some very insightful stuff in Luke 21. One second.
Should we go to someone else while you get it?
Yeah, I'm right here. It'll take me a second. And so yeah, boom, right here. So we got Luke 21. And I'll start from 21:12, right? Or I could even say, where could I start here? Well, I would read the whole chapter, but it's like 20, 30 plus verses, so I'm gonna just read the important stuff. So I'm gonna start from 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed by both parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So I'm going to stop right there, man. And this is a very, very insightful chapter in Luke chapter 21. And to kind of give a reflection of what's happening into like right now as we speak, you know. So thank you for letting me read that. And guys, repost the space. Thank you.
Really well stated there, Dre, I'm disappointed that Rabbi Shmuley had to back out of his debate against you. I think he heard you were going to be there and said, "Nope, I can't do it anymore."
Let me look into this guy, official detail, Dre. Oh, he runs with Ian Malcolm and Truth Teller. Yeah, let me pull out. I got to do something, man.
Hey, he went cowering and running for the hills. How predictable. But well stated there, Dre. Really appreciate it. And that reading did seem spot on given what we're facing at the moment. Let's go back to Dr. Rechtwald for a second, then we'll go down to Mr. Durrell.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's very significant that in the reading, it says that you will be handed over to synagogues. So isn't that curious that it says you will be handed over to synagogues and put in prison? So really, isn't that curious that it says first you're going to be handed over to synagogues? So who's going to be persecuting you? That's pretty clear. It's pretty clearly stated there. Who is going to be persecuting you? There it is.
It's in the fine print.
Yeah, Yeah, it's uncomfortable when some of these texts come full circle and feel like we're living through them. And that is wild. Great call out there, Dr. Edgar. Well, let's go to Jarrell.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And Mr. Dre, happy belated birthday. God bless you and everything else that you've done for the community. But I want to go into the title of this space is Matthew 16. So let's read Matthew chapter 16, verse 6. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And then you can go forward and skip into what would be Mark chapter 8, verse 15, and then also says, "And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." And then we go forward, we jump into Luke. It says also in the same thing, Luke 12, "In the meantime, where there were gathered unto the innumerable multitude of people, insomuch they trode upon the other and began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware of ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Sorry, I was running out of breath there. Hypocrisy. So notice the leaven of these people, these select individuals are hypocrisy. So these are the Jews. When you look at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these are the Jews. And the Bible clearly warns about all of this. And there's so many more scriptures that we can go into and we can delve into, but these are just a few on pertinent on topic with what your space is with Matthew chapter 16 and just kind of cross-referencing into there. Thank you, Ian and Miss Joanne.
Yeah, of course. And much appreciate the additional context there and some of the expansion there on 16. It's a chapter that it's filled with just so many kind of relevant aspects. And so really appreciate that, Terrell. Let's go to Psycho and then we'll go to Eddie.
Hello, Ian. Do you hear me?
We sure can.
Beautiful, beautiful. First off, I want to say, Ian, I've actually been a very, very prominent fan of your page, as well as the message that you are giving out to the masses who are for surely not as awake as they should be awakened. So I would go ahead and say, God bless you, Ian. Thank you, Joanne. And God bless everyone in this space. For we all understand and we are going through the same problems and the same revelations that our Lord Jesus Christ has warned us about. But on our shortcomings, we have also not partaken to do all of the wishes that he has done shortfully. We do it to our best. We do it to our best ability and the graces. But however, sometimes we fall short just like Jesus Christ Almighty did. Now, I will go ahead and say this. We are all going ahead. We are all right now going against the same problems and as well as the same revelations that everyone right now is going through and the hardships on how all of us are being sucked and dried and dipped by an evil force right now that is awake and is very, very, very active. Okay. We as the children of God, who are also, I would say, the true and real Jews of Israel who come from his actual meaning and his graces as well as the gospels, we are not here at a force right now where we are dealing with these same people. We are dealing with an evil, satanic, pedophile, and Luciferian cult who has tried to rob us of all of our indignities, our freedoms, our children, as well as all of the graces that God has given us on the land that he has created, as well as the universe he has created. And let me just go ahead and say this in a sense. In Leviticus, in the chapters of chapter 26, verse 1, "For it said, you shall not make idols for yourself, neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it." Now, if we pretty much all understand this revelation, we shall not make any other idols according to any sort of worship or endeavoring and engraving. So we already are run by a people who already are doing that and have been doing that for centuries and centuries at a time. And let me tell you as one other verse that goes in chapter 26, "For you shall keep my Sabbaths and and reverences and reverence my sanctuary, for I am the Lord. The Lord has already cut every single one of our lives in the making that he wants us to go on our journeys. Now, if there's one thing I can say, and most of us have agreed, we have tried to do our very best to endeavor the word that our God wants us to basically go forward with the journey he has planned for us. And sometimes we come and fall short. Four, he also had warned us, and I said in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 26, verse 7 through 8, you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put tens of thousands to fight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. If there is one thing we all know, is that there is no other dangerous being here on planet Earth and in the living beings of all realms that is more powerful and more dangerous than a child of God. Every single one of us are a walking weapon in the sanctuary that we have, that our Lord has given us. And at many points, we, especially as followers of Christ, are not cowards. Because if there's one thing that God will never forbid, and also go ahead and take into the high kingdom, which is Nazareth, is a coward. Because we are fighting the good fight right now, and we are fighting the forever fight, okay? In the book of Numbers, which is where we understand, we have had shortcomings when it comes down to the message that God had wanted to give us from chapter 33, from verse 51. For you should speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, which is one of the founding places of obviously our enemies, the dear Jews, which they call themselves Jews, which are not, which we all understand in the book of the great book of the Gospels, that then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded ages, their molded images, and demolish all of their high places. These are not places, obviously, that go by the hand and grace and the holiness of our Lord and Savior. These are the children and the people and the generations of Baal, of Moloch, and of our enemy. If I could say this, and also probably just so I do not go on a rant, because there are plenty of amazing people who I definitely would like to hear from, for we are definitely fighting a common enemy. I shall go ahead and say, probably with a good closing, God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hates the nation of Israel. God hates the nation of Israel. Now, I am not saying that he hates every single individual. Maybe there's like a span of maybe 1 out of 8 Jews that'll probably be like, you know what, this is going wrong. But no, this is Revelation times, okay? We are all fighting a fight right now that is never going to be avoided, and it's going to keep getting worse before it gets better. Because before it gets better, we all need to have our faith, and we need to keep our integrity with our Lord Jesus Christ, because we will not be going through this easily. This will not be easy. We have to make sure we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but also we actually do praise in the demise of the entire entities of evil right now that are storming our lands. Because in Psalms, as a matter of fact, just like how we understand, the Lord has always wanted to tell us to choose our sides wisely. In Psalms chapter 11, verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I would suggest anyone who actually does believe that our Lord and Savior right now is not trying to tell us to choose our side wisely, is because if you decide to go ahead and test your image and all the pride that you have to go ahead and side with a people that love violence, you clearly should definitely have a different defining meaning of your morality, because why would you decide with a people that God hates? Now, these are the people at one point that we all know are running the porn. These are the people that are running the child trafficking. These are the people right now that are turning the Gaza Strip of Palestine into a parking lot. If you can Google images right now, you can see the clear devastation of Gaza right now, and all of the children and the mothers and all the people who cannot get baby formula by themselves that are suffering by the hands of these evil, demonic, penis-sucking, worshiping, and baby-stealing devils, okay? We are all at war here. I'm very sure that all of us are on the same page of we need to take our country back. It cost me over $100 damn near to fill up my car. $100. Thank you, Jews. Lord have mercy. Are we not being blessed right now with the people of Israel? Are we not being blessed with the war of Iran, bringing up their, bringing their puppet into America, taking all of our tax dollars to feed families of Jews who the Bible clearly says are Antichrist? They do not have the Father. They do not have the Son. They crucified our Lord and Savior, and they blaspheme him. They blaspheme him in the name of their holy doctrine, which is the Talmud. We will not get there because, Ian, you have done nothing but your life's work to let everyone know the dangers of these people and how they will be a thorn in our side and to prick all of the worth that we have suffered and all we have tried to do for our families are being sucked up. They are being stolen and we are being trafficked by our own money and our taxes. And there's one last thing I will say. We of all the people of Lord, we need to gather and we need to put on the armor of God and the faith that he has given us with the holy almighty name of his name. We need to come together and we need to fight this entity that will try to triumph, but will never will in the name of Jesus Christ. I will yield there. God bless everyone. I'll probably talk later. Thank you, Ian.
Psycho, God bless to you. That was epic. In all sincerity, I hope you're okay. I'd like to clip that and just turn that into a little video with maybe allegedly Dankersine. If he could help out, that was phenomenally powerful. And it really does. It feels, Joanne was talking about goosebumps earlier. When I hear somebody speak so impassioned about this subject that not only recognizes all the evil, but just wants merely to make the world better, I get exactly that same sensation. That was just unbelievably powerful, my friend. I hope not only do you stay up here and continue to contribute, but I hope to see a lot more of you. That was just spectacular.
I am at your disposal, Ian, and thank you so much. Like, as I said, being a follower of you as well as a great fan and the commemoration that you have done to try to get everyone onto the right path that we have all tried to do. I try to keep my tongue out because lots of the time, you know, it's more dangerous to speak the truth than it is for anyone to hear it. And quite frankly, Ian, I have no problem because our Father is protecting me. Our Father is protecting all of us. And absolutely, please clip it, screen record it. Take it everywhere, for my faith does not hide, and I am here to fight for all of the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, our nation of America, and to get these fake fanatical Jews out of our nation, our country, so we can live prosperous. Thank you so much, Ian, for this opportunity, and everyone else in this space who actually did give me the time to at least go ahead and share my truth, even as probably as long, as short as it probably was. I hope that I at least had done something to make you understand and come to the light with all of us. Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, of course. And to go back to the thing I said in the beginning, can you imagine the shills that are out on X posting what they know to be disingenuous garbage because they're getting their shekels for doing so, that are trying to cover for these cowards and these liars and these sociopaths, and then they overhear somebody like Psycho just deliver the commentary that he did. How terrified intellectually do they have to be, right? We're not advocating for any violence. We're merely saying we're not going to back down and you're not going to be able to buy our loyalty to a system that's built on lies, right? They've got to be absolutely just trembling. And again, not because we're trying to do anything out of wrath or anger or violence or any of that, but merely because we're unwilling to back down, we're willing to stand up, and the message that we're sharing, it's just fundamentally true. And the craziest part is how these truths seem to essentially be eternal, where you can draw them all the way back to
Venezuela. Donald Trump took Venezuela's president, and I was told he was taking that oil.
So, Adam, let's have some fun. Adam, are you currently sober?
Yes. Well, half and half. I don't want you to cancel me off the chat show. I get cancelled off a chat show every night. I don't know why.
He's like a gym membership. Yeah, like Adam, cancel him.
Adam, where are you from?
Leicester.
Sorry.
You're overrunning a little bit. Well, Adam, nice Lester. To meet you. And are you really sober?
Adam, we'll play five questions. You said you're currently sober. My second question: are you being honest when you say that?
No.
That's amazing. You get all the points of the day. You're welcome to stay up here. That was fantastic. I appreciate the honesty.
That was God's honest truth, man.
Well, all right. So why don't we go to, let's go to Eddie, and then we'll go back up to Mandy, and then we'll check in with Drunk Adam.
He said 5 questions. That was just one.
Okay, hang on.
That's true. Right.
You owe him 4 more.
I did. Well, I owe him 3 more. We already asked one, but we will play. We'll play 3 more questions. So, Adam.
No, don't Jew him. It's 4 more.
All right, fine. We'll give you 4 more questions, Adam. First and foremost. So, Adam, your thoughts on Matthew and the Bible. Any thoughts for everybody?
Yeah, it is. Disaster. Disaster.
Is it a disaster or it's the Death Star? So I don't know which one you said.
It is what it is, isn't it? It is what it is. We can't change what happened in the Bible, Matthew, St. Peter, St. George, St. David.
We cannot.
Excellent points. Thank you so much.
Who's trying to change what happened in the Bible? Who's trying to change what happened in the Bible? No, are you? Are you trying to change what happened?
The Egyptians sent the Jews in the desert for 40 years, didn't they?
No.
The Egyptians are us in the Bible.
So Adam, can I ask you a question? Adam, so yes, the Egyptians, they sent the Jews out of Egypt. At least that's the telling of it, right? What came before the allowance of them to leave Egypt? Do you remember that kind of series of events?
Genesis.
So, well, I mean, I suppose in a greater sense. Yeah, I was going to say all of the plagues of the Egyptians. Is it kind of weird that one of those plagues, the idea that now begets Passover, is it kind of weird that the Jews celebrated the idea of the firstborn of all the Egyptians being murdered? Is that...
Well, the Jews weren't just there. You had the Romans. They're that many different religious people.
Right, but they weren't celebrating the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians, right?
Everyone was killing everyone.
Everyone was killing everyone. There was lots of murder. Yeah. Yep, we can agree with you on that one. Okay, so next question. What is your favorite film of all time, Adam?
That's a big question because there's so many films.
Yes, there are many.
The Green Mile.
The Green Mile. Okay, and that's Tom
that's,
Hanks.
That's
and
so obscure.
I think that's Tom Hanks, isn't it? With the very large.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Green. Why do you like The Green Mile? And do you remember who wrote the book?
Well, I don't know who wrote the book. Steven Spielberg.
I don't think that's right.
I don't know. We'll look into it. But
that guy, John Coffin was an angel. John Coffin in The Green Mile. He was an angel sent from God. And Tom Hanks, he fried him on the machine. He electrocuted him to death.
Yes, that is correct. In the book by Stephen King, who is a huge...
What did I say?
I was just going to say Stephen King, a giant Zionist shill and seems like a creepy guy. But he did write some good stories.
What did I say?
Well, you were referring to Steven Spielberg.
I said Steven Spielberg. Yeah, you said Steven. Yeah. Close.
Well, no, Stephen King wrote the book, not directing the movie. But no, that is both creative
voices. Forrest Gump. About Forrest Gump.
So,
do you remember the name of the policeman who killed the mouse? In The Green Mile.
Edouard
Delacroix. Yes, he killed the mouse. I don't know. Yeah, he killed the mouse.
And it's directed,
he killed the mouse.
Directed by Frank Darabont, which, to be honest with you, I would not have been able to pull that one out. Which is why I asked about the book, because that was the only piece I could remember from a trivia perspective. But a good suggestion. So, Adam, last little question here, if I'm not mistaken. Your favorite comedian of the last 30 years would be who and why?
Let me think. This is a hard one.
There are very many of them.
This is a hard one. I know there's loads. Every week there's a new comedian. There's always someone new.
Harry Spears.
There's someone new. BBC, RTV, BBC4. There's always someone messing about on TV. They get paid a lot of money.
It's so hard to understand him. I genuinely have no idea what he's saying.
I can't remember if it's Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking.
Peter K.
Peter K. What is the funniest joke you remember from Peter K?
Let me think. Oh, man. We'll have to stop this. My mom and dad just come inside.
Okay, well, make sure you tell them you love them. That'd be...
Yeah, well, no, they're going to be drunk.
They're going to be drunk. Okay.
I caught a stair fry today.
Oh, so it's like a family thing.
No, they just got back from the pub. You got from the bar.
So hey, can I ask a question, Ian, to Mr.
Of
Adam,
course.
Please?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, I was curious. I looked in your profile. And I see a picture. You got the square and the compass symbol, which is, you know, a very famous symbol for Freemasonry. So I'm just curious, you know, what is your, you know, are you like affiliated with a lodge? Are you a member? You know, are you maybe which rite? You know, or is it just like a little fanboy of it? You know, what's the thing with the Freemasonic logo? I'm just curious.
I can't answer that question.
Why not?
Amazing.
Because that's what you may not ask about that.
I have another question,
that's top
Adam.
Secret.
Amazing.
That's
secrecy, right? That's, secrecy.
That's, yeah. Then don't put it as your banner, Adam. People are going to ask you, and then you're going to have to tell them.
Normally, I'm
like,
about
like why are you wearing that Superman costume?
The next.
If we were like you, we'd torture you until you told us, but we're not like you.
Adam, one more thing. You don't have to answer if it's a secret. You whatever. Do you know who Hiram Abiff is?
What's the name?
Hiram Abiff. King Hiram.
No.
You don't know who Hiram Abiff. You don't know who
Madicure is. Madicure.
Okay, so Hiram Abiff.
She died a horrible death.
Hiram Abiff was the architect over the construction of the Temple of Solomon. And Hiram Abiff is someone who's King Hiram. He's like the master of all Masons. So I would assume you would have known who that was, but okay.
I'll tell you about the present, not the past.
Amazing.
Are we going about the past or the present now?
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming up, Adam, and drink some water and like hydrate. And
oh, don't go yet.
Oh, no, we're not leaving. Yeah. We're going to stay here, but we're going to go to someone else, and hopefully you like, I don't know, like, drink a little bit of water or something. Thank you so much, and God bless you. All right, Darrell, go for it.
Yeah, I think the last speaker needs a little bit something more than water, in my opinion. But when we're talking about the title of the chapter, Matthew 16, and we're looking at these select individuals, you can go to Acts chapter 7. This is 42, Acts chapter 7, 42, 43. And it says, then God turned and gave them up to worship the hosts of heaven. It is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? And then 43 says, yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Remphan. All right, so the 43 clearly lays it out that the house of Israel, what we view as Israel right now, they are not the chosen of God. This is something that needs to be addressed biblically, historically, and you have to understand that all the Jews that you have currently today, whether it be, Ashkenazi, Sephardic, they're Khazarian Jews, right? And so they do not hold any particular place in the house of God.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you so much, Darrell, and I agree. Mandy, thank you so much for coming up. Go for it.
Hello. Thank you, Ian, for having this space. I was one of the people that Joanne was talking about that was like complaining. I had to reel myself in because I was just like, I'm really struggling with not having these spaces. So thank you for doing that today. Thanks for taking your Sunday. And this is a perfect subject. I don't want to go off too much on this because I have a space coming up specifically on why Jesus wasn't a Jew. But I did hear something that perked up my ears from, I think it was Psycho talking. And he was saying that the early Christians believed that they were the true Jews. And I just want to, so yes, that's true. But I'm trying to change the language because language has been hijacked a lot by Jews. And the problem is that actually the word Jew didn't even exist back then. It was Judean. And there were multiple sects of Judeans, meaning groups of Judeans, philosophies of Judeans. One of them was the Pharisees, one of them Sadducees, all those different things. But Jesus was against them, and his followers, his early disciples and things like that, did believe that they were the true Judeans, not Jews, Judeans. And Jesus, before he was crucified, he said that for what they were doing, that their temple was going to fall. And the temple obviously was what everybody came to. Every single thing about their religion involved the temple. Even all of these different sects of Judeans went to the temple. And Jesus said, well, in just a little while, that whole temple is going to fall down because of what you're doing, and not a single stone will be left unturned. And it just so happens that I believe it was 40 years after he died in 70 AD, the entire temple fell. And that is when the Pharisees said, oh crap, we've got to change our whole religion now because this just became true. If you look it up anywhere, it will tell you that the rabbinic Judaism, which was started by the Pharisees, was started largely because of the destruction of the temple, because that prophecy from Jesus came true. And they said, we can't have this. We have to move the basically want to give more authority to a different source. And that became the rabbis. And the rabbis are the ones that wrote the Talmud. And so everything that we think of what a Jew is today was foreign at the time. All of this stuff has just been created in, I think it was 200 years after Jesus was crucified that rabbinic Judaism really began. And so everything that we know as what is a Jew today is everything that Jesus was fighting against, speaking out against, calling children of hell, sons of Satan during his time. And it's really important. That's why I wanted to do that space. And that's just a really short part of it. But it's really, really, really important because it crumbles. Zionism crumbles when you understand the history of what actually happened, who the quote unquote Jews are today, what Judeans were at the time. And every single time that Jesus is calling people sons of Satan, children of hell, he's talking about the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the ones that started rabbinic Judaism, which didn't even exist in Jesus's time. So, I mean, it was totally a rebellion against Jesus. Every single thing that you would call Zionist today is antichrist, is literally in opposition to Christ, specifically and foundationally. So I just wanted to mention that because some people might think the language that Psycho was using about how, you know, Christians believe themselves to be the original or true Jews, that word Jew is so loaded today because of what it's become. It was Judeans, actually. Anyway, that's it.
So well stated. And I'm going to be curious if Mr. Psycho Malley wants to kind of comment on that. Before we do, let's go to Dr. Rechtenwald, who put his hand up.
Hey, yeah, thanks again. So what Mandy was just saying is really, really, really interesting and central, I think. And I think what it also speaks to is this. What we now understand as Judaism was always Zionism. It was always Zionist because the whole project they were looking for and why they rejected Jesus, and at least I think is why they rejected Jesus, because he did not represent what they thought he would be. They were looking for a temporal worldly leader to overthrow Rome. He did not represent, he did not come through with that, so they rejected him. Even though he had given them plenty of indications of who he was rejected because he did not represent Zionism, because he did not represent land titles and expansionism and the kind of global power that they were looking for. They wanted to overthrow Rome. They wanted to be the center of worldly domination. And this is still what they want. And so really, I don't get into this on, you know, on X online with like threads and stuff like that about, you know, the question about Judaism and Zionism. But if you look at it through the lens that Mandy just gave us, Judaism was always Zionism. It was always already Zionist because it's about a land project. It's about a rule on earth. It's about a certain, you know, understanding of what the Messiah would be. And he defied that, and that's why they rejected him.
That's so well stated, Dr. Etchemont. It really is. It's one of the things that I find fascinating about this kind of arc throughout history, right? We're going to go back with Mandy and look at the origins of Christ there from kind of the genetic and kind of the lineage aspects. But it's also why, like you were just saying, this ideology, it seems completely already pre-codified even prior to the likes of Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto with Engels or with Moses Hess in Rome and Jerusalem, right? Which is kind of the founding text of what we think of as modern Zionism. But it really does appear as though when you look through the Talmud and some of these more Kabbalistic elements, that this is always just what this thing has been. It's always what it's been about. It's always been what it's been trying to do. And to go back to the time of Christ and what you and Mandy just said, that at the end of this, the rejection of Jesus was because his kind of kingdom was out of this realm. And instead, this group at the time, what they wanted was somebody to basically just conquer, destroy, and to build up the big earthly possessions so that they could have all the riches and the glory, which is, it's so wild to think of, because if you compare that to what they have today, it's one and the same, right? They're after the exact same ingredients that they were after 2,000 plus years ago. It's really wild.
This is a people with a very long memory. I mean, look at this whole Russia, you know, Russia thing. It's also because of a long memory, the Pale of Settlements and settlements. And some would even go back as far as to say, you know, the conquest of the Khazars by what would be called Russian people now. But, you know, speculation aside, this is a people with very long memory and projects that have a very long telescopic scope to them. They're extremely long, far thinking people. It's not like this has been cast up just a few days ago. This stuff has been going on for, you know, 2,000 years. And the big split in humankind happened with Jesus. Jesus was the dividing rod. He was the divining rod and dividing rod. He divided the wheat from the chaff, and he showed who was with God and who wasn't. And ironically, the people that opposed him most vehemently and directly were those whom he could call his real relatives, interestingly, and they wanted nothing to do with it. So it's a, you know, when you look at the beginning where Jesus comes in, this changes history. It changes history forever, and now the whole epic battle, you know, they talked, you know, this Huntington guy talked about the clash of civilizations. Ironically, the real clash, there is a clash of civilizations, and it's really this clash that Jesus set up 2,000 years ago, this clash between believers in another, you know, a transcendent God and believers in, you know, a temporal rule. And, you know, a land contract. So, I mean, it's very curious that this really sets up the whole rest of history. And I'll just leave it at that right now.
No, so well stated.
Oh, definitely.
Go for it, Mal.
Thank you, Ian. As a response to you, Mike, I absolutely agree with you 100%. When it came down to, obviously, when it comes down to, they say, somewhat conspiracy theory, even between the Russians, I would say, and their cold ties to, I would say, Jewish influence. If I could probably even say factually that right now, if there was any people in the world other than us, us followers of Christ, obviously, if it comes down to ethnic background, ethnic or cultural background, it is the Russians. Because under the leadership of the Jews, when it came down to the to Russia, that is when basically 70 years, 70 or 80 years of communist Marxism, which was definitely what we call a Jewish inventory, basically sucked up and sucked the land of Russia dry with their absolute totalitarian rule and their banishment when it came down to their belief in Christianity, especially since they made it a law that you are not allowed to even read the Bible nor claim Christianity or you will face death. If there was any other people in the world that would have any righteous justice, the retaliation, I would say, in vengeful justice, that is the Russian people. Because under their ruleship, they did all they could to basically, in many instances, they made plenty of underground extinction rooms and police units, as well as underground churches somewhere that they had planned for demolishment in many years. And they had taken some of the most beautiful Russian women and entrapped them into prostitution and slavery, as well as to child pornography, so they can sell to Jewish billionaires in the West. So if there were, and I can guarantee, if there was any awakening from the Russian people for what the Jews are currently still doing to them, because Vladimir Putin is most definitely a Jew fanatic in their pockets. Vladimir Putin has already been to the Wailing Wall over and over. He has his own rabbis. Most people don't like to talk about that. Most people don't actually like to begin about how his actual plan before trying to get the USSR back into full fruition, he was basically, I would say, molded from Jewish influence. And may I say, it's all been a trick scale so that they can bring in their new world order that they have been planning for thousands of years but have constantly failed at, because God will not be mocked and God cannot be beaten. If you have Jesus Christ on your back, there is nobody who can forward you. Nobody can trample you. For he even said in the book of Thessalonians, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you have also suffered the same fate from your own countrymen, the same way as you did and suffered from the Judeans," which are who? The Jews, "who killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they are contrary to all men." Anybody who is not of the descent, obviously, that understands the dark, Kabbalic, black nature of the Jewish person, they do not see you as humans. And which goes also by what I wanted to respond with Mandy about. You absolutely did have a great point of view, because many of the world's history has been changed, erased, and altered, said by Jewish influence. So there's definitely many ways on how somebody can contrary the belief that one who is circumcised inwardly and not outwardly, which I would say has been a little bit more psyoped, even in the great gospel, to think that you need to be circumcised to be one with the Lord. But no, it is circumcision within the heart and also circumcision within surrender of our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely right. And so I will definitely go ahead and say, you know what? There is a point and something that I can learn every day. And what I did learn today is that words can definitely be psyoped and they can be used for a different agenda without pure meaning. Because the Jews' one weapon to all of the masses is confusion and also diversion. For I think it says somewhere in their Talmud, Ian, you could probably get in on this if you're with me, but I think it was with diversion or with disillusion, you create war. I could be wrong on that one. I could be wrong.
It was the Mossad slogan, "Through deception, we shall wage war." It was like their national saying. It's unbelievable.
Amen. Amen. And the problem, I would say, that most of us, especially as ones who are meant to be free from such clutches right now, is that the masses right now are so brainwashed. Because to give credit where credit is due, even though it's not earned in the correct fashion, Jews have done an amazing brainwashing and media transportation when it comes down to altering our minds. For years and years, having to basically be shown something in front of us without doing our actual research, our actual fact checks, and actual logical and moral point of views, we believed everything that was told to us. And for even the Lord had said that they will be a thorn in your side, and for your enemies shall rule over you. And they, what are they doing now? They have shown us that no matter how much that the chains are viewed in us, we feel the chains, we are locked out in many boundaries that are given to us by the grace of our Lord Jesus. Our enemy has had a clutch and a key to every single one of the shackles that we have all been destined upon right now during this day and age to basically fall in line or die. I will say this, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ like many people here or probably have a belief in Christ another way, but I will say this, if you ask me to compromise my faith in our Father Jesus when he died for me and died for us, I am as dead as you can be. Chop away. Send me to my Father. I would not want to be here. I'd rather be with him. Just like how everyone should, I would mostly feel. But this is a global war that has been brought upon the good. And now we have been so destitute to believe right now from the Jewish psyop that everything that is bad is good. And everything that is good is bad. This is an everyday thing. This is why our women are the way that they are, giving themselves away and selling their souls for shekels from the clutches and obviously the makings of the evil Jews that are going on. This is what's going on with our men who have been cuckolded and have lost their testosterone and masculinity into believing that protecting and providing is supposed to be a social construct when it is a will that God gave us. We are all made in his image and made for different purposes, and we have been so, so disillusioned into the truth now that it's hard for many people to wake back up, because the biggest weapon for the Jew is to gain our occupation, we must confuse the occupation. And with confusion creates their success, and with our success creates the demise of the world. I will yield with that, Ian. If there is anybody that wants to add on to that, please do.
That was wonderfully stated, Mally. And it is by deception we shall wage war. What a weird way to go about something. And the hubris to then share it with everybody is really remarkable. It's like they flat out just told you, like, hey, guys, we're going to lie to you and cheat and steal and do everything behind the curtains as we wage war on you. And oh, by the way, if you go about noting that we have the control of essentially everything in your culture, your society, your financial instruments, and your political sectors, we will just call you anti-Semites. Like, it's really weird. You could almost come to the conclusion that World War II never ended. It just took a different form and went from the battlefield and bullets to, let's say, the mind and the Frankfurt School and lies and deception and demoralization. And if you look around, you know, it's hard to argue with the idea that the West has essentially been sabotaged, right? It's been undermined and destroyed from the inside out. And there's that very infamous quote, and some people would negate the authenticity of it. And I've got some that would suggest it's completely sincere. I can't say with certainty, but this idea that Netanyahu himself in a recorded conversation said essentially, we are going to treat America like the golden calf, kind of strange imagery, right? And we're going to pick it apart piece by piece and sell it apart in every way that we can, because that's what we do to people that we hate. And if you look around, whether or not the quote is accurate, it's hard to suggest that it's not accurate in terms of its depiction of what we've been witnessing over the last couple decades. So wonderfully stated there, Mally. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Mr. Eddie and then JP.
Hey, Ian, can you hear me?
We sure can.
Oh, hey, I appreciate you having the space. I became a fan of you like when you were doing the Dan Bazillion debates and yeah, I was just coming to check on y'all. Yeah, I'm really glad that Adam guy stumbled in, though, because that would have been really hard to follow Psycho Mally after that epic speech. Yeah, I think the Christian morality thing was a thing. I was actually on a space with Dr. Michael earlier, and we got to me, and then I was talking about how we have like a Christian moral compass in this country, and that kind of makes us a beacon. And they're like, no, what are you talking about? We're waging wars and killing kids, and you call that a Christian moral compass? And, well, then I was trying to point out, no, that's like psychopolitical, and like basically he's saying that, like, when I told him that they stone, like, their women if they like guy, and they said it's all propaganda. And yeah, so that's pretty much my story. Yeah, well, and then Matthew, I think 18, when two or more gather in his names, he'll be with us. So thank you for having this, Ian.
Yeah, of course. And it is, you know, obviously this idea of deception, right? We shall wage war. And it's wild. The West is basically, you know, it's the victim of this machine that uses every element of kind of what I think of as like a full spectrum psychological operation. They use that to weaponize information and demoralize the masses via the media and academic institutions, technology, et cetera. And part of that is essentially instructing us to hate the other. And in this case, the other being the people in the Middle East that we're just continuously told are, you know, the forever, let's say, villains. And isn't it curious? Because that has basically just shape-shifted as has been needed by this same supremacist let's say group or ideology as far back as most people could possibly remember. And for a long time, the villains of everything were the Germans and the Russians, which is kind of curious if everybody thinks of Ivan Drago, right? Those are the two archetypes of the villains. And then you get kind of right around the time of 9/11 and the forever villains become the Muslims. And they've basically weaponized that media to get us hating on anybody and everybody that is the other, under this belief structure that they are, you know, they're at war with us. Oh no, the Muslims, they're going to come and get us. And look, I am against, obviously, mass migration of Muslims into, in particular, Europe, where they're just coming in spades. But it's worth noting they're only there because A, their homeland is being blown up by the Jewish supremacists, and B, they're getting mass migrated by the Jewish supremacists into the West, right? So they're asking us to hate the very thing that they are responsible for, no different than in the United States, where they're responsible for the mass migration of all the Central and South Americans into the United States, which they then use to create all this, let's say, migrant versus national citizen animosity. And it's like, wait a second, guys, shouldn't we be pointing the finger at Secretary Mayorkas, who let in 25 million people, which is more than the cumulative migration patterns of almost every single president prior combined? Like, should we maybe talk about that, right? And so it is, it's just this endless deception, subversion, and it's just evil, right? Like, I I've said this many, many times, I would be fine with a supremacist group of people if they grabbed the reins of control over everything because they were intellectually superior and because they were morally righteous. But that is not this. This is not a high IQ group of people. And we know that because A, they just lie about everything, which they wouldn't have to do if they had done this based on merit and if it was actually producing good results. And B, if it was producing the good results, they would advertise that they were responsible for it, right? So by their, let's say, obfuscating around the reality, we know the reason they have to do that and lie about the control is because they don't want to be perceived as the people that have it, because things have been getting worse, obviously. Right. And so we are not lorded over by a capable group of people. Instead, it's by I believe, and sociopaths.
Is he cutting out?
And they you're cutting out, Ian.
Oh, sorry. Can
you repeat that?
Well, hopefully it's not the case.
No, go ahead, Ian.
I don't know.
The last minute.
Yeah, I don't know where or what might have cut out, but right, we are just being ruled and lorded over by people that are completely indifferent to morality, to righteousness, and that I believe are completely intellectually bankrupt, right? These are people that have no inherent skill. They have no, truth be told, they have no work ethic, right? This is not a group of people that are out toiling in the fields to bring about either dinner via grains that they're growing or animals that they're going out and they're able to kill based on skill as a hunter, for example. This is a group of people that sit as an exchange mechanism. They are basically the credit card machines of the world. All they do is somebody swipes the machine to buy one thing from somebody else. They sit as the intermediary, the merchant class, right? All they do is just suck off of that entire machine and that process. That is not high IQ, right? These are not competent, capable people. They're not talented. They're not athletic. You look on the athletic fields, they don't play any of the sports. They just own every one of the teams, right? Just like I was just saying, this idea of the merchants, what do? They own all of the franchises. They make all of the money for people participating in the viewership or in, let's say, the competition on these fields, right? All they do is have this generational wealth that is largely downstream from either the, let's say, the Bolsheviks and all of the money that they gobbled up by supreme control over all of that, or of the Federal Reserve, the money printer, and all of the money that they've just been siphoning off through America. And they take all of that wealth and the resources, and they just utilize that to monopolize everything. And then because they're the only game in town, they're like Coke and Pepsi. And then they sit there and they're like, well, I mean, obviously we're brilliant because you keep buying our product. It's like, mother effer, you're the only thing on the shelf. Because you box out anything and everything else. There's no alternative to the system that you have built. And the system that they built, they didn't even build. All they did was they just manipulated and stole it through blackmail, bribery, prostitution, and in some cases, assassination. Right? So it's the most vile of things. They sit there arrogantly and they brag about the control that they have. Well, if you were just better than we were, you would have all the control. And then we turn around and we're like, well, you guys control everything. That's how you have the control. And they go, oh, how anti-Semitic to suggest we have the control that, well, we just bragged about, but we're allowed to brag about it, they'll say. Right? We can taunt you.
Ian, does it make me bigoted to think that like America is a beacon of hope because we have this Christian moral country guide or like this Christian moral compass guiding us?
It was founded by Christian values. America was founded by Christian values until the Jews basically go ahead and try to hunt our goddamn history and claim that they had something a huge enterprise on how we became us. A Jew doesn't even work. Jews don't have jobs. The biggest taker in our system right now, especially when it comes down to the EDD system or when it comes down to social security and welfare, are Jewish people. It's not black people or white people or Hispanics. Jews live off of our welfare, our tax dollars. A Jew does not even have to have a job. It says in the Talmud that they are incapable of having jobs because the goyim work for them. Human cattle. There's a reason why they were so rich in stock for many, many, many years in many other countries, and they were praised because they brought value. They were the things at one point that had to make the agriculture. They're the ones that fed the families, and they're the ones that kept the entire village or the economy or the family growing. What do the Jews do? They are leeches. They don't know how to do anything but suck everything up that has already been founded and made by the Gentiles, which is us. They believe that everything that we make, they all of a sudden, when they get inside of it, they think that it's a value anymore. There's nothing that brings value to a Jew coming to work for anybody except if you wanted to go bankrupt. Because remember this, there's a reason why a lot of these entertainers also have these huge diamonds that are thousands or like $1 million chains with that are stocked up with all these diamonds and gold and all this type of stuff. Remember, those are definitely the shackles that a lot of Jews basically think that you have freedom. Because remember one thing, sorry about this little rant. You can never say you have jewelry without saying Jew. Thank you.
I think that that's the piece, especially there on the chains and all that. It's exactly right. It is, if you think about it, the most successful of entertainers who almost, Joanne, Emmanuel, not all.
You're breaking up.
Go ahead with the chains.
Get closer to the microphone, Ian. You're cooking.
No, it's okay. Hopefully, it's coming through. If not, it's a-okay. But the comment that he just made there on the chains, I couldn't agree with more. This idea that if you think about it, right, they take these entertainers, just pick any of them, right? In this case, we'll go because the Emmanuel Jew wanted to suggest that there were plenty of Hollywood perverts that were Jew by Dr. Luke, who found out last
trick. That's the Mossad attack. Right? Mossad.
They're out in Hollywood. They own all of these entertainers. And what another, you know, it's another great example, right? It doesn't matter if it's the NBA or if it's the Oscars. You've got all of these people up on stage performing. And most of these performers, those that are actually genuinely, you've got two classes of them, right? In athletics, you've got genuinely talented people. You've got to be talented if you're going to play in one of these professional sports leagues. There's no way around it, right? But they're all owned by the usual suspects. And that is, it's basically, it's a modern slave trade. right? What do they do when they trade players? They're like, oh, I'll give you this slave for that slave, and this slave dunks better than that slave, right? And then you go to the Oscars, and what is it? It's the exact same thing. You've got some entertainers up on stage, and those that are genuinely talented, for the most part, they're all owned and produced by, just like the Dr. Luke guy, they're produced by Jews, right? And what are these people doing? They're taking their genuine talent, and who is it that the Jew is? Oh, he's the owner of the label. Oh, he's the producer. What does that mean? He's the money behind it. Are they doing anything to add to the talent of these artists that are creating the songs, that are dunking the basketball or kicking the football? No, they don't do any of it. All they do is they just sit there and they say, well, I own this, so now I get all the riches out of it. And then you look atop the owners of most of these, and not only are they Jewish, but in many cases, they end up getting caught in all of the exact same vile behavior of the people out in Hollywood, like Harvey Weinstein. Oh, sexual assault on the cheerleaders. Another shocking day in the media. Right? It's utterly insane. We just see the same pattern over and over and over again. So whether it's the ownership of the Federal Reserve or these big financial mechanisms or the likes of BlackRock and State Street and Vanguard that own basically all of these companies, they don't do anything, right? BlackRock, what are they doing? They're investing money into a system. Or maybe you're Paul Singer. You're a billionaire Jew who just happened, oh, I don't know, really weird. He just happened to buy Citgo at essentially default. So basically going out of business because of government mandates and its inability to get any of the wealth out of Venezuela. What do you know? He buys it, and then 45 days later, Donald Trump sends his mercenaries in the middle of the night to extract him. And then what's going to happen? Oh, that's right. The Rothschilds are going to get their central banking system. The West is going to get its oil. It's going to get shipped off to Israel. And Paul Singer is going to be a trillionaire. This is insane. Meanwhile, the people that go to work and are trying to just earn a living, they're getting their jobs competed because of mass migration, so they can't earn a middle-class wage as they then go home to neighborhoods that are now filled with migrants that are more expensive to live in, whose, you know, children's schools are getting overrun by people that don't even speak the language. And meanwhile, you've got the Jewish supremacists like Yitz, who just today, Yitz said, you know, it's a good thing that you've got diversity in the West, and there are places that are homogenous, but I wish Israel was more homogenous, he says. As literally, they've got a giant wall, not only around their nation, but they go out and they literally murder their neighbors via mass genocide so they can steal more land. It's just unbelievable that we have to sit in this world and accept these lies, right? It is just vile and it is evil, but people are waking up. So let them all sit there and shake in their boots as they own everything. It's not going to matter. The bread and the circuses have run their course. People are tired of it all, right? Let them try and buy and bribe and entertain us with just endless dopamine. We're done with it. And the world's going to be so much better when we just put down the nachos, the beers, the Coca-Colas. We turn off the Netflix. You turn off the video games. You go out into the sunlight and you meet like-minded people of all walks of life, all shapes, colors, creeds, whatever, right? You just come together and you recognize, guys, it's us against them. And the them are the supremacists. They are the same ones that Christ spoke about, like we just talked about in this very space. They've been doing this forever. I don't know if it's genetics, if it's religion, if it's culture. But what I do know is it's very clearly good and evil, because we are considered domestic terrorists because we criticize literal genocide. Like, what do you make of that? When you're the villain for critiquing a genocide perpetuated by people that are blackmailed and bribed by a pedophile ring. Like, what are we doing here? And so this whole thing, it's going to end. People just need to wake up to it, which is why Netanyahu is going to spend his $1 billion on propaganda, and he's going to buy the likes of Lucas Gage and all these other shills and cucks that we can now ratio. And as a last little thing, you know what's unbelievable? We've got V up on the stage here with you, and I'd like to go to him for a second, who just the other day got something like 500,000 views on a post that he made. What does that mean? It means it doesn't matter if you've got a 6 million followers like Ben Shapiro supposedly has that are all fake Israeli bots, or if you've got 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000, or if you've got 5, it doesn't matter. If you've got good ideas, people are going to flock to them, and that is what we have in spades. All they have is one card. It is the Joker card. It's the only card in the entire deck that they are holding. And that little joker, all it does is it lies, it cheats, it blackmails, and it utilizes its endless funds via the Federal Reserve to pay for all of it, right? But once we just detach ourselves from that system, we say you can't buy our, let's say, belief in your fake little BS system anymore. Once we just detach from it and walk away, they have no control over anything. And that's why when Christ hung on the crucifix and they were like, ah, we got him. And then 3 days later, he was like, bitch, please. And he comes out from the dead.
Don't you worry about
the... We are resurrecting ideas that literally go back and have biblical precedent. We are absolutely going to win, and they are terrified of it. And I find it so funny in the great run of all of this. There's nothing they can do to stop what is coming, and it's not violence. It's not hate. It's a love for our people, and it is a mere animosity towards literal evil. And how do we know that it's evil? Because all of this stuff has been perceived as such for thousands of years by all the great religions. Right? We know this to be true. Child sacrifice is bad. Molesting children is bad. Stealing and murdering and killing and believing you have the right to do so because of racial supremacy is bad, obviously. Right? So we are unstoppable. We are the sunrise, and they are the vampires, and they're looking and they're counting. They're like, who's got another American Express? We're going to make the sun not rise, guys. We just need another $1 trillion of Netanyahu bucks. It's like, no, you guys, you are fighting against Mother Nature and human nature, and all of it is going to win. So tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me that it's human nature, because she do it that way. I think that's what Michael Jackson said, right? Human nature is going to win. So don't stop till you get enough in the King of Pop, right?
His birthday was yesterday,
make it a better place.
I'm sorry. His birthday was yesterday, too, by the way.
Michael's was?
Yes, sir.
Let to the King of Pop, RIP forever. It doesn't matter if you're black or white. If you're out there healing the world, God love you. And so to Michael Jackson, wherever you might be, he's looking down. I can tell you all this right now. Michael Jackson is somewhere in another realm, looking down and smiling for what we are doing, as crazy as that sounds, because we're rejecting and objecting to the same system that he said. All I want to say is that they don't really care about us, right? We are absolutely going to win with an anthem of MJ tunes leading us all the way to the promised land of the sunrise. And the vampires have to deal with that very uncomfortable reality that is truth. But let's go to Mr. V.
Hey, can I say something real quick, Ian? Real quick. I'm sorry.
Ian, you're cooking today. It's insane. Sorry, go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to let you pass to the next person. I just said, Ian, bro, I need you and Rocky, bro, to like, Rocky right there, Rocky Watermelon. That's, I don't know if you know her, bro, but man, you and her on a Friday night special, she does every Friday night with Rocky. Man, it would be monumental. It would be monumental. And yeah, but I'll go back. I'll raise my hand.
Wait, Ian, can I add something to what you just said? Like, don't you worry though that this awakening is coming at the same time? Like, we're kind of seeing like the fall of Rome, and like then like once it happens, the Jews will say, "Oh, look, this happened because they abandoned the Jews." I appreciate. Like, sorry, thank you.
No, isn't that funny? Because every single time that I can find, the expulsion of Jewish supremacy resulted in the golden era of all of its, all that would follow, age. Right? And Spain being the most obvious example. And if you really think about, I mean, try to imagine what could come of a society if the United States were merely able to reject the Federal Reserve and Jewish supremacy once and for all. Right. If people actually got to maintain what they earned through their own toils and to invest it into their local communities rather than into BlackRock run Jewish supremacist nonsense, whether it's Disney or all the way to every other, you know, household product that's out there. Right. But the world that we are going to be able to build is going to be spectacular. And again, every historical precedent points exactly to that very thing. Right, the Germans had the exact same economic miracle. They were in far worse shape in many ways than we are today, right? And nonetheless, they were able to basically say, we're done with all this system. We're going to build a labor-backed currency. And our people who have an unbelievable work ethic, they are going to build something spectacular. And then they did, right? And so I sincerely believe if the West follows in a similar mantra, and look, National Socialism and all those other kind of things, we can debate the benefits and the pros and cons of that as an economic model. But the main crux of it is just the currency working either for its people and being backed by either gold or some other hard precious metal, right? Or simply saying we're getting rid of this concept altogether and we're going to something like a labor-backed currency. Either direction, right? The people will be able to once again actually earn a fraction of what they've been able to the last couple of years. So much so, I still can't believe this. If you were to convert the value of your physical or your paper, let's say wealth, if you were to look at people in the 1950s, right, your average person earned what is today the equivalent of over $500,000 in real goods. Somebody in the 70s, on minimum wage in the 70s, was earning the equivalent of about $370,000 in today's income, right? So when you start to recognize those things, yes, right now you can buy a big screen television and it's cheap, but everything else in your world, energy to healthy foods, to education for your children, all of that costs an arm and a leg and nobody can afford it. And the reason is because the dollar has been absolutely decimated by this very system that they control. And so, no, what's going to happen is the same thing that has happened over and over and over again throughout time, where when nations throw off the shackles of Jewish supremacy and the undermining.
Oh, no, you cut out again. Get closer to the notary.
That are. What?
You cut out again. Get closer to the modem, Ian.
Sorry about this. No, I was just as a way to wrap, I was just saying that even the Jews in this system that are not Jewish supremacists will benefit. And what I mean by that is if you are a hardworking Jewish person who wants the world to be better for you and your family, this system that we're envisioning is going to be ultimately better for all peoples. The only ones who won't benefit are the Jewish supremacists that are leeching off of all of these systems unethically, are taxing everybody into the dirt, and are stealing all of our wealth by siphoning off via essentially planned inflation and the monopolization of our federal government for the benefit of them. Just like what was being said earlier by Psycho, even the local governments. Right, all these welfare programs where you've got all of these Jewish enclaves, they don't work. They literally just live off of welfare programs while they have 10 children. And they're like, oh, how dare you suggest that we should work? You're a bigot. You're like, what? Like, so we have to be slaves to the Jews or otherwise we're bigots? Like, this is so backwards. And then we get them in spaces. And you hear the issues like, what is it, Mossad Mike the other day, who, I have to call this out, in the same day, two different posts in the same day, Mossad Mike both, he mocked and taunted the suggestion that I would make that we are being massively censored and suppressed. And then in another post, he cheerleaded the fact that allegedly Dank has been disconnected from his Claude account because of an internal investigation, which has determined that he's not allowed to use AI for the purposes that he's been using, which is, oh, by the way, to spread the truths that we're trying to speak. How is it possible that a person can sit around and simultaneously say, ha ha, we control everything, and then turn around the next minute and say, you're not being suppressed? You have to be schizophrenic to be able to do something like that. And oh, by the way, not just schizophrenic, you have to be shameless. Because not only do you have to be absurd to be able to say it in the first place, you then have to be dumb enough to recognize that the rest of the world is obviously going to connect the dots and be indifferent to the shame that should accompany that. And it's unbelievable. We just live amongst this low IQ batch of evil people that are seemingly completely indifferent, not only to the corruption that they push out, but to the obviousness of it, and are accusing them and pointing out that they are behind it. It's wild. It's literally like a person standing there with a knife and there's a bloody body and they've got the blood all over their hands and they're like, yeah, that's really terrible. They died. Good thing they didn't die. Good thing I didn't have anything to do with it. We're like, we see the body and we see the knife and it's his blood on your hand and your hand on the knife that clearly, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, don't be a bigot. It's unbelievable that we have to live in this world. But anyway, let's go to Ms. Rocky and then we'll go to PVG.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for the mic. And thanks, Official, for your kind words. Ian, you're on fire. Excellent points. And I think you're right. I think we're winning because the truth is coming out because of people like you and others. And that's that you keep at it. And we all have to do that. I think the Jewish supremacy problem, people get that part. I mean, it's right in our faces. You know, as you all know, this one wall, I see people hitting. And it's hurting us, I believe. So like even the people that say it's a genocide, we support Palestine, we want to stop the the Jewish influence and all of that, they always have to, you know, come in and say, well, the Holocaust, you know, or the World War II, the Nazis, you know, they got to keep that World War II, you know, fake ass lying to us for 80 years. Lie. Like, I'm tired. Like, I want the truth, and not just me. Everybody does. So if we can get past, look, the Jewish supremacists are running the world. You know, like, how do you not see that? Everybody, see, you know, most of us see it. But we need to get past also the history that we were told. So if the Jewish supremacist mob are lying to us about everything, and particularly October 7th, that they keep, you know, fielding the same lies, the babies beheaded, et cetera, it's still the same. We're the victims. If they could do that now, why couldn't, you know, those people believe that they did it then? You know, I need to stop. I need to stop the false narrative about it's the Nazis, because that's a scapegoat, and so many people use it. And I think that's a hurdle that we should overcome. Do you agree, Ian?
I mean, it's been a cajole, and it's been a crutch, and it's been a moat, and it's been a weapon. It's been everything for every purpose that they could benefit from. And unfortunately, when they control not only the textbooks, but also largely Hollywood, if not exclusively Hollywood, right, they're able to weaponize the understanding of these moments in time for their forever benefit. And like you're saying, it is it's pretty wild, because now that, you know, many people are awakening to the reality of the lies and the dishonesty of the media today, the next step is obviously for them to look at the history books and say, wait, you know, maybe this is nothing new under the sun, and this is just how they've always been behaving and what they've always done to manipulate our minds. And that is largely happening with the younger generation. You know, that's why they had to buy TikTok. The realities of Gaza were just too much for them to bear. But the boomers are largely, I don't want to say lost, but, you know, we need people. And this is why I think it's really important. And Rocky, I'd love having another female voice in here, because obviously, you know, different genders are going to appeal to different people in different ways. And I think we also need different voices that appeal to different generations. And it's why I love that Dr. Rechtenwald, you know, the mediums that he's utilizing to try and lure in some of the ears and the eyes of maybe those that come from either academic institutions or maybe some of these revered intellectual circles, right? We need everybody to spread out, and rather than trying to target the exact same ears every day. And it's why I really advocate as best I can that we try to get out of our echo chambers, is to try and expand to get to new eyes, new ears, because there's going to be different people that will arrive at this a different way. But you're exactly right. And that's the last little comment. This is why there's a certain right-wing commentator that, you know, I bit my tongue on for a long time. But what I've noticed is that their ruse seems to be to keep people focused on AIPAC, on Israel, and then on, let's say, just the political entanglements of the traditional left-right dichotomy, rather than being able to say, look, it is Jewish supremacy that owns just about everything. Voting Democrat or Republican is not going to make a difference, right? I sincerely think that is the thing that they fear most, is not that we're going to awaken to the realities of Israel, and that we're going to arrive at the conclusion that Benjamin Netanyahu is a genocidal sociopath. The thing that they fear is that we see the Truman Show, because once we walk out of that, there's nothing else that matters for them. Their entire system is predicated on that house of cards, right? And it's why it's the thing that I really try to focus on as best I can to help anybody and everybody see it. And Rocky, I sincerely appreciate the impassioned words, but you're exactly right. Once they realize it's kind of like a weird comparison. It's kind of like a person that's in a romantic relationship for a long time, right? The partner wants to think, no, my partner would never do that to me. They love me. They could not, right? This is the dynamic with the greatest ally nonsense. Right. And so, but just like with a romantic relationship, once the person comes to the clear conclusion, you know what? They have been cheating on me. All of a sudden they don't. And I heard Jordan Peterson talk about this one time. He said the thing that is most difficult for a person to realize in a romantic relationship, when they recognize that the person that they're with has been, let's say, infidelis, is the recognition that not only are they not the person that they thought they were today, they probably never were the person that they held them up to be. And that's the dynamic with this greatest ally concept. It's not just that they're not our greatest ally. It's that they've been, frankly, our greatest adversary for the longest period of time. And once people come to the recognition that things are not what they seem today, then they start examining the past. Then they start getting frustrated, not only with the quote unquote greatest ally, but also to themselves, right? For being allowed to be brainwashed and bamboozled this long, no different than the romantic partner when they say, how could I have been such a fool? Why did I not just listen to my friends that were saying, hey man, I think I saw Sally Mae out on the dance floor. It didn't look right, right? They start to challenge that. And what's going to happen is in that same fashion, we're going to be that friend that has been trying to say to all these people asleep at the wheel, you got to take a second look at this. And so not only are they going to see the evils of Israel and Jewish supremacy, they will come running to us in the process that is going to build our ranks in ways that we can't understand. And that's why I do think that we're a tidal wave, right? We all think of ourselves as being this, you know, oh, we only have so much influence. And no, we are going to be one of those forces that is nothing at all. And then all at once, and it's going to be like a light switch when that moment happens. Right. And it's why they're terrified of us just having these conversations. And it's why free speech is the thing they want to suppress the most. But so well stated. Let's go back to Mandy and then we'll go to PVG.
Mandy? Is she talking?
Oh, I'm sorry. I put my hand down and then I completely forgot what I had my hand up for. I was chatting with Forbidden. Where Forbidden, who does really cool videos. Actually, I totally forgot what I was going to say before, but I will mention to Michael, you were talking about animating, I think it was your book, and are you doing that with AI?
Yes, that's what I'm doing it with.
I would love to, because I am talking with Forbidden right now about this. I don't know if he wants anybody to know his name, so I'll just keep saying his handle, which will only help him, but it's Where Forbidden. I've been talking with him, who obviously does amazing banger videos, about helping my team, because I have a media company, to create awesome AI videos and just up our game. And I don't know if that'd be something that you'd be interested in getting in on, but
oh, yeah.
I think we're going to take...
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to take...
This is much harder than I thought. I'm just playing with this stuff. Anybody that knows what they're doing would do so much better and save a lot of time and probably come out with a massively better product.
Yeah. Well, he is more than willing, and we're just chatting, and he's more than willing and really excited to help, actually. And he said, oh, you don't have to pay me anything. But of course, I'm not going to do that. But when we scheduled that 1 hour, he said he'd go through his workflow, go through all the tools, go through everything that he does, and he might be able to, you know, obviously help you after that, but at least we can learn all of his secrets, which I know we still won't come up with the really cool things that he does, but it'd be probably 100x of whatever we're capable of doing now. And also just wanted to shout out Where Forbidden again, because I was chatting with him yesterday, and I know at the beginning of the space, Ian was talking about just how, and I think Michael was too, just about how it's getting harder and we're seeing more and more of the just making things difficult for like accounts to grow and for messages to get out, even though like I had a tweet recently at 18 million or whatever, and that was exposing the JQ. And I've had some other ones like that recently, the Wolf of Wall Street one I had no idea that he was Jewish. That is what, but it all makes sense now. I've actually met him in real life, and he is exactly the way that you would think. And it all makes sense. It's wild. I'll tell you actually a really short story. I was in Las Vegas. I have a client, and we were in the office when the Wolf of Wall Street got in there, the real Wolf of Wall Street, which is Jordan Belfort. And he was supposed to film some content there. And he came in, and no, we were in the client's office, and the client wasn't back there in the studio with him. But apparently there was a wrinkle in his shirt. Just literally a wrinkle. The lady that was helping him, named Carly, had not unwrinkled the shirt yet. And he literally flipped the F out that there was a wrinkle in his shirt. And he stormed through the office, got an Uber and left, went to the airport and left. just because there was a wrinkle in his shirt, and just was swearing on the way out that it was unacceptable. And who do you think he is? And you can't believe this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it all makes sense now that he's Jewish. And by the way, he had a, I think it was a $200 million judgment, and maybe it was $100 million judgment against him for what he did, obviously, and what was documented in the Wolf of Wall Street. And he paid back, I think it was 13 or 15 million of that, and now it's expired. So he actually doesn't even have to pay that back ever now. It just expired this year in April, and all those people are just out whatever money that was. It was interesting because somebody commented on my post and they said, hey, just out of curiosity, Alex Jones, does his ever expire? What do you want to bet? It doesn't. It doesn't ever expire. It only expired for Jordan Belfort. So interesting thing. And then I was just going to mention about Forbidden, because that was where I was talking about the things are getting more difficult. He had, he just got monetized, like I want to say a few months ago. But he has obviously been shared by Candace Owens and stuff. But we were just chatting about it on the day that the payouts rolled out. And he said it's way low. He said it's lower than it was the previous payout. And he got more impressions and more verified or premium people seeing his stuff. So he's feeling the suppression right now as far as, you know, the whole attack on the truth. And so anyway, if anybody wants to share his stuff a little extra, knowing that, I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
Yeah, Forbidden does a fantastic job. He really does. It's good to see you, Ian, my good friend, Joanne, Andy, it's nice to see you. Rocky, my Dr. Rechtenwald, as always, it's a pleasure. Rocky, it's nice to meet you. Mandy, just a quick question. If Forbidden, if he'd be willing to maybe animate that, the thing with Emmanuel, I think that could go pretty viral. I mean, all I did was clip a conversation, and the algorithm loved it. And Ian, you and I together, well, I mean, it's mostly you. I'm just the one that clipped it. But we're approaching about 500,000 views together. So, you know, it's a perfect example of Jewish supremacy. Let me name, you can't name one pedophile. Oh, Dr. Luke. Well, Dr. Luke's a Jew. But I think what's important, guys, is that we are winning. And, you know, as things get worse, I mean, I just saw a tweet from the king of the synagogue of Satan himself. I don't even know what this means. Whoever does not study Torah will be drafted or go to jail. I don't know what he's referring to. What Netanyahu is referring to. You have this shit with the Falkland Islands now. And if Trump backs Argentina over the Falkland Islands, that would be, truthfully, the most treasonous thing that he could do. You know, that's been British territory. That's
I think he means the Epstein files, probably. So the people on the Epstein file, they have to like study the Torah. And then,
wait, hold on. Ian is having connection issues. So if it does drop, he will open right back again. So guys, please put your notifications on and follow Ian and Dr. Michael and everybody on the panel. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. Sorry. Oh, wait, Ian, are you back?
Yeah, he's back. Right.
I don't think so. I saw him open his mic, but I can hear him, so hopefully he does save it. Okay, go for it, BBG.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say that no matter what happens, I wanted to respond to Rocky. I love the Queen's accent, by the way.
But how'd you guess?
I heard it, and I read the bio, too.
Gotcha.
You know, the biggest thing, that's been the biggest cudgel of Jewish supremacy. It's, I call it the greatest get out of jail free card in history, which it is. And if you truly study it, you'll realize that, in my opinion, 95% of it is a hoax. I mean, you have, I would follow people like, you know, Paul Rassner or Ernst Sundell or Ron Unz, or the great